Yeah, so we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And we know that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God that he has helped us. And, you know, we are in the time when we look at the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the crying and the passion and the love that he shows us. And really is a demonstration of the love of our Savior for us and his concern for us. And today I just wanted us to see what is really this strength of Christ that Christ had, where he lays down his life. You know, that's one thing that we have to understand, that Christ was a living sacrifice. That means that he had the ability to not go to the cross at all. He had the ability to not go to the cross. That means that at any point, if he opened his mouth, he would have asked the Father, and the Father would have sent legions and legions of angels to rescue him. And we can see many places where he says that, I lay down my life. You know, that he even pleads with the Father that, Father, if it is possible for this cup to be taken away from me, but yet not my will, but your will be done. It is something that we see that Jesus willingly laid down his life. You know, when we look at Isaiah 53, he said, like verse 8, he says, like a sheep to the slaughter, he was led, you know. Yet he did not open his mouth. He was quiet. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. But he did not speak. You know, he took himself to the cross. And really for me, that speaks of the kind of love and sacrifice that he offered, and the kind of life and sacrifice that we ourselves in our time we must offer. And that is why we say that, I mean, Jesus said, if anyone must come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. You know, Christianity calls us to take up our cross. It calls us to see the sacrifice that our Lord and Savior did and follow likewise, like him, and to be crucified with him. And when we are crucified with him, then we can die with him. And when we die with him, then we can resurrect with him. And if we resurrect with him, then we can also share in his glory. That means that without the cross, there is no crown. There is not a crown without the cross. And if we partake of the cross with Christ, then we shall also be counted worthy to share with his glory. Let us look at some few verses that tell us and that speak to us of how Jesus had this strength, of how Jesus laid down his life. And we'll start with John chapter 10, and we'll look at verse 17 and 18. And the Bible says, John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, it says, therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. And verse 19 says, therefore there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings, and many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Now, from this onset, we first of all see that Jesus speaks clearly that, you know what, I'm going to Jerusalem. I know I'm going to be, you know, to be handed over to the scribes and the Pharisees, and they're going to kill me. But on the third day, I will rise again. And he tells them, look here. The Father loves me, and I lay down my life of my own accord. No one forces me, and I have the power to take it up again. Now, if we look at John chapter 17, which is where is a chapter where Jesus prays, and in this chapter you're going to find three kinds of prayers. You'll find where Jesus prayed for himself, you'll find where Jesus prayed for his disciples, and then you'll find where Jesus prayed for all believers. Now, this is really, we'll not look at it today, but it's something that you can go and see, and want maybe just to look at where he prayed for himself, just to see the authority that Jesus had. We'll look at the first five verses of John chapter 17. The Bible says, as Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Now, Jesus was praying to God, and he's telling God that I have finished the work which you sent me. Now, the time has come for you to glorify me. And he says, glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world began, before the world was formed. Before I came on this earth, I had glory with you. And I know that I had that glory. And he's telling the Father that now I have finished the work which you sent me. I came here because you sent me. And now glorify me with the glory that I had with you. And that tells us that he was clear about who he was. He was not just going as one who was ignorant, as one who will die by chance. No, Jesus was clear that he is in the Father and the Father is in him, and he had completed his work. And again, when we look in the Garden of Gethsemane, this is something that I just mentioned earlier. It says, and if we look in Luke chapter 22 from verse 39, the Bible says, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed. That means it was his pattern to do this. And his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The Bible is telling us that our Lord and Savior knew that he had a will. He could have refused to go to the cross. But we can see that it is he that lays down his own life. He lays down his own life as a living sacrifice, as a sacrifice himself. And he says that, Father, if it is your will, you can take this cup. But nevertheless, not my will, but let your will be done. Indeed, it wasn't easy for him to surrender his will. You can imagine what that meant to the Christ. One who has not known sin. He was not conscious of sin. He was not aware of sin. He did not sin at all. He was blameless. And for him to be made sin for the whole world, for him to be made sin, for him to take up the curses of all man, for him to hang on a tree, for him to be beaten, for his body to be broken, for his body to be, you know, to be marred, that he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, that he was like one from whom men hide their faces. When you see his prayer is not one of a coward. He's not one of one who is defeated. But we can see that our Savior had brute strength in that he was able to have a will to say no, but he said, Father, I surrender my will to you. Not my will, but let your will be done. And I also want us to see in John chapter 18 when he is arrested. And we can also see another example where he shows us his power. He showed us that it is he himself that allowed himself to be arrested. It is he himself that allowed himself to be crucified. When we look at John chapter 18, and we'll read the first 11 verses, the Bible says that when Jesus had spoken these words, he went up with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, and which he and his disciples entered, and Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met with his disciples there. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that will come upon him, you can see the Bible is telling us that he knew all things that will come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Jesus, who betrayed him, also stood with them. And when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Now, just picture that. The soldiers have come with the Pharisees and the chief priests, the officers. They come with Judas. They come with what? With lanterns, with torches, and with weapons. This is like a mob. This is like an army coming to arrest one person, because to them they expected the disciples of Jesus to resist. And he asked them, he goes to them and he asks them, "Whom are you seeking?" And they say, "Jesus of Nazareth." And the Bible says, Jesus answered them, "I am he." And they fell to the ground. Can you imagine how much power that Jesus had, that even by just saying, "I am he," and it is important for you to understand, when he said the words, "I am he," remember when Moses asked God, "Who are you that I will tell the disciples, I will tell the Israelites that who has sent him?" He said, "Tell them that I am that I am." That means I will be what I will be. I can be whoever you want me to be. And so when he tells them, "I am," remember even when he tells, you know, the Israelites, when they ask him before, you know, "Who are you? How can you say that you are older than Abraham? Have you seen Abraham?" And he tells them that before Abraham, "I am." And they picked up their stones and wanted to stone him. Why? Because the moment he mentioned, "I am," he was basically saying, "I am God, I am equal to God." And indeed, in every right, he demonstrates that he is God. And when he says, "I am he," they fell down to the ground. They were slain just by the confession of our Lord and Savior that he is God. Now, look, carrying on in the same verse 8, Jesus told them, okay, verse 7, then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you, I am he, that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let this go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, 'Of those you have given me, I have lost none.' Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, 'Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my father has given me?'" Look at that. Jesus, he knows that they are coming for him. So he tells them, okay, now since you have come to arrest me alone, allow these disciples to go. Why? Because scripture must be fulfilled that none that you have given me, none of the disciples that you have given me that I lost. And for sure, he even performs a miracle. You can imagine, he does a miracle in that moment where when Simon Peter cuts the ear of this servant of the high priest, whose name is Malchus, Jesus takes that ear and heals it back on the man's head. And he tells Peter, put down your sword, shall I not drink the cup that my Father has given me? So he tells him, he allows himself to be arrested. You can see they wanted to hold him. He says, I am he. They fall down. And when they fall down, they have to recognize the majesty of God, and he is Lord. But he now does that so that he can allow them to release the disciples. So the disciples, although they strike the ear, Jesus performs the miracle. He's not going to the cross as a weakling. This is something that we have to understand. This is our Lord and Savior who is going to the cross willingly, willingly, willingly. Now, if you look at Luke chapter 22, and this is also linking to how he was arrested, maybe we'll just look at verse 50. It says, and just a few verses after verse 50, it says, okay, maybe 49. When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them, which we have read, is Simon Peter, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Verse 51 of Luke 22. But Jesus answered and said, permit me even this. He told his disciples, allow me. Can you imagine? Allow me, because this is the cup that I'm going to drink from my Father. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and elders who had come to him, have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs? And when I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. So Jesus knew that it was their time. He knew that he has allowed himself to be arrested. He knew that he was going to be crucified. And he knew that he will rise again on the third day. Remember when he told them that, destroy this body or destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. And he was not talking about the temple, but he was talking about himself. Now, look at another area of strength, Luke 22, verse 66 to 71, where he confessed himself to the Sanhedrin that he was the Son of God. The Bible says that as soon as it was day, verse 66 of Luke 22, the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, if you are the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, if I tell you, will you by no means believe? And if I also ask you, will you by no means answer me? Let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then they all said, are you then the Son of God? And he said to them, you rightly say that I am. And they said, what further testimony do we need? For we have heard it from his own mouth. Can you imagine? He tells them, you know what? I am the Son of God. So you can, and beyond this, I am going to sit at the right hand of the power of God. Even before Pilate, and if you jump back to John chapter 18, you know, when Pilate was questioning Jesus, and Pilate was asking him, are you the king of the Jews? And he asked him, are you speaking for yourself or is it that other people have told you? And if we go to verse 37, then Pilate said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You rightly say that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" So you can see how, even when he's being questioned, he decides when to answer and when not to answer. And he tells him, when he asks him, "Are you a king?" He says, "Yes, I am. You have said so correctly." Now let's look also at John 19, where Pilate questions him again. And this is John 19, and when we ask him from verse 9, he says, "And he went again to the praetorium and said to Jesus, 'Where are you from?' But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, 'Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?' Jesus answered, 'You could have no power at all against me unless it has been given you from above. Therefore, the one who has delivered me to you has the greater sin.'" Look at him. He tells Pilate. Pilate is telling him, "Don't you know I have power?" He said, "You don't have power except it was given to you from above." And he says that, "Don't worry. The persons who have given you to me are of greater sin and not you, more than you." Even when Jesus was being led to the cross, and you can read in Luke 23, verse 26 to 31, the women were crying out to him, and they were weeping, and Jesus tells them, "Look here, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which you will say, 'Blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed.' They will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the green wood, what will they do when it is dry?" And this you can see in Luke 23 from verse 26 to 31. Even when he's going and the women are crying, he tells them, "Don't cry for me, but weep for yourselves. Because a time is coming when Jerusalem will be destroyed." Remember, he tells them that Jerusalem, you will look for where to hide, you will not find it. And he tells them, "But don't even cry for me." Even on the cross, can you imagine? Even on the cross, one thief on the right side is abusing him. But he tells the other thief who rebukes the other thief, he tells him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." They're abusing him from the ground, and he tells them, "Look here, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." Even when on the cross, he hands over the responsibility to John, and he tells John, "Here is your mother." He hands over, "My mother is now under your care." You can see how Jesus was very responsible. He had every power. He gave himself. And even before he dies, he says, "Father, into my hands I commit my spirit." Our Lord and Savior offered himself willingly to the cross, and he laid down his life. He had every power to ask angels to come and bring him down from the cross. But you know what held him on the cross? It was his love, it was his passion, it was his desire for you and me, that by his sacrifice that he pays, he will bring forth life. He will release life for us. He will be a sacrifice for sins for you and me. It was his love for you and me that held him on the cross, and that he laid down his life of his own accord for you and me. And really, this is the passion of our Lord and Savior. And we often think of it that he was weak. No, he went to the cross in strength, in his own will. And when he died, he rose victorious. Let us remember and let us reflect on the death, burial, the suffering, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I will stop there and I pray that God will give us more insight into this. My brother, you're welcome as God allows you.
Thanks, Doctor. No additions from my side.
Okay, we can pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us and for showing us that indeed you took off the cross. You went on the cross willingly for us, and your love that you showed us, that indeed if we believe in your name, if we receive the sacrifice that you offered on the cross, we too can receive the forgiveness of sins, we can receive the resurrection from the dead, and we can receive life eternal, and we can be made sons of God. And I thank you that you have made us sons of God today by faith in you. And I thank you for your love. Indeed, we have seen your power. We have seen the demonstration of your authority, the demonstration of your love, that even you did miracles in your last moments. You healed in your last moments. You spoke truth in your last moments. And you even offered salvation to a robber in your last moment, and forgiveness for them that do not know what they're doing. And I pray that indeed may we see through your eyes and see your love for us. And indeed may we reciprocate that love. Indeed, as a reasonable act of worship, may we live lives that are sacrificial, that are living sacrifices, that can give you glory, honor, and adoration. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom and blessed, blessed day.